Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Hooligans. This is Mitch, Matthew Bird.
Hello.
Grandmaster Brad.
Hello.
Brad's back from his little sojourn into Nashville.
Yep, was checking out some local breweries and eateries for our road trips next year in the USL.
Doing a recce.
That's right.
That's right.
I enjoyed it, and I think we will have fun on road trips to Nashville.
We are going to take over Broadway when we go down there.
It's not a far drive. It's lots of good eats and drinks.
Yeah. I was okay with the eats.
No, I went to some good places, so.
Drinks, though.
Yeah. That, well, you have enough to drink and anything's good to eat. Before we begin tonight, though, I do want to pour one out for my homie, Coda. Those of you who listen to the podcast regularly always know that at least once during an episode, one of us will mention Coda, Coda will sniff the balls of a guest.
You'll hear her toenails clacking on the hardboard.
Yes. Unfortunately, Coda is no longer with us, so our official fourth host of the pod is no longer with us. So, Mitch, here's to you and your family and your dog. She will be missed.
She was on the podcast longer than Bird.
That's true.
Made most sense.
No one ever called in to complain about what Coda's hot take was.
No, this is true. She was not offensive. Although I did
universally the most beloved co-host of the podcast.
True. This is truth. Although I did mow the lawn today and stepped in shit.
She's still with us.
Yeah, she got me one last time.
So until we get a new puppy, which I'm sure Mitch's kids are bugging him for already.
Yeah, Ava's decided the only way she's going to get over this is a new puppy.
There you go. So,
or several.
Quote. Until we fill the void of Coda, there will be no podcast dog. So that's. I just wanted to start with the serious business. Now we can get to the silliness.
As you were.
Let's talk about, since our last podcast, we played Charleston, leading the league. Leading the East, good team. We lost 1-0. It's not the end of the world.
In a vacuum, it's okay.
But it's not in a vacuum, though, is it? I mean, last three away games, not in the league. Very little creativity. No goals.
Last four games, three losses and a draw.
I was going to go on just the away games in the league.
Yeah.
No goals, created very little. You know, didn't really look like scoring. Charleston only needed to score one, and they won the game.
Yeah.
And you go back to Cincinnati and Charleston and Orlando, very barren up front.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I was hanging in there with this team. I was the last one to give up the hope. But, I mean, we're to the point now where we got to look at this. We've got to say, it's reminiscent of last season where we started off okay. We got up to third in the league last year. This year we got up to first in the league, and we're dropping. And right now we are in that last playoff spot.
Well, we're dropping because we've only played one game this month.
Having two in hand isn't helping the standings, but at the last four games, I don't know that two more games would have helped.
And I don't have a lot of confidence. I mean, we're playing the Rowdies, which is another good team.
Just smack the microphone, but I totally agree. I mean, we've got the Rowdies coming up,
and the way
they've got to show me something, Brad.
We'll get to Wichita, but after
the Rowdies they haven't lost in four games.
Yeah, they haven't showed me a lot, and they're coming back from injuries, and I know there's several excuses to be made. But
we were promised depth.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that was supposed to be different.
We were promised creating chances. And we have created some, and we're missing them.
One of the things that we continuously heard, and I'm not saying from Jeremy as it's all his fault.
No.
But he's the mouthpiece for Preki, because Preki doesn't like talking to the press, and that's fine. But not that we're press. I'm never going to claim that we are the
we're
press.
We're journalists.
Anyway, but, we were told that we were going to see, he doesn't like to play heavy up front, that we get creativity and attack and goals from the midfield. It's not happening.
Yeah, but I will say we've missed some sitters.
Yes, there's no question.
But either way, you got to capitalize, you got to create chances, and we're just not doing it.
The fact of the matter is that I do think we have a very, very well-traveled fan base that go to away games. They're spending good money, and they're spending time away from their families to go to these games.
Families are organizing vacations around road trips.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't Erica know it?
Yeah.
And, and they're not getting anything for the support. I mean, Anissa and Tim and Bree and Chris went down to Charleston, and a bunch of guys went to Cincinnati. I mean, Matt House and Will flew. They flew to Wichita. I mean, we've got guys flying all away games.
And we had guys that drove to Wichita as well. Mm-hmm. Claude and Michelle are going to Tampa Bay this week.
And they need to see something. I mean, this support needs to see something, because I grant you that we've only played one league game so far this month, and that the floods kind of messed everything up, and injuries and blah, blah, blah.
I know, but you know what? The flood is not an excuse, because the flood only delayed one game in this month.
But in the last three away games in the league, we've done nothing.
And
people
can
keep going to see nothing, and that has to change.
We can also throw out two of the big wins early with New York and Ottawa. They weren't comfortable wins. We gave up goals.
3-2.
That's... giving up goals is just as bad as not scoring goals.
I tell you what, conceding three goals to a bunch of postmen and school teachers in Wichita was unacceptable. I'm not being funny, but it should never have got to that point.
And I think we have to look at Gorick. I mean, Greenwich has done a good job coming in. I think he's playing better right now.
There's no question.
And I like Davala, and he was one of the best goalies in the league last year, but something's not working.
Yeah, I hate to keep coming back to hockey references, but the Blues had similar situations where you had two goalies that were, you know, constantly fighting and struggling, and you had to pick one and go with one. I'd have to pick Grinnis right now. I don't think I could pick Davala right now.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if Grinnis isn't starting in Tampa Bay.
I'll be very disappointed.
Yeah,
he's earned it. He's worked hard. Save of the week two weeks ago.
And giving, I get, you know, we all have bad day here and there, but giving Davala that start in Wichita was the opportunity for him to prove that I'm still ready, and he gave up three goals to an amateur side.
Yeah, I don't want to get into Wichita.
Not all his fault.
I've got a lot of things I want to cover with Wichita,
we'll get there.
Hold off on that. But, you know, we'll stay with the loss at Charleston. Again, in a vacuum, a 1-0 loss to the number one team, not a big deal.
Yeah.
What way?
But we're running out of excuses. We have to start winning games, no matter who they're against.
We're not getting goals. I'm looking at the table or at the records here. Cincinnati 4-0, Charlotte 2-1, Orlando City zeros, Charleston 1-0.
Yeah,
there's no goals in league play there.
Yeah,
that is not working. I mean, this is, and again,
and we don't look like we're going to score. I'm not being funny.
No,
but I watched the Charleston games, and I just sat there watching my phone going, There's nothing here.
The crosses are going over, if they even get down there. You know, it's...
I love this team, and I'll try and put a positive spin on most things, but I expect more.
Well, and I feel like I've been putting a positive spin on it, and after each podcast, you know, people will send me private message, oh, you know, tell us what you really think. You're being too positive. Let them know what's going on. And I honestly did believe, nah, it's coming together. It'll happen, but... yeah, after the last four games, I'm worried.
I mean, there's a lot of season to go, but they have to turn it around. That's the simple fact of it. They have to turn it around.
And the problem is that the league's too good now.
The league is very good. It's a very competitive.
I mean, you know.
Well, and it was like we said last year. We had the good start. We were fine. And then we went on a 12-game skid. And, I mean, that's crazy. Well, we're on a 4-game skid now. Can we stop it at 4?
The Open Cup, not...
But not counting the Open Cup. I'm just talking about league play.
We shouldn't have won that game. I wouldn't even count that as a win, you know, objectively.
Because it should never have got to that point. I mean, we class Louisville as our peers. You know, that's where the company we want to keep. But there was never in doubt that Louisville were going to go to Pittsburgh and beat Tartan Oaks.
And they did it by nine.
I mean, Wichita are better than Tartan Oaks. Tartan Oaks are a pub team, but it was never in doubt.
Right.
They went up there. They took care of business, and it would, the fans would just sat back, have a beer, and enjoy the game.
Is it our mentality? Is it our physical ability to play the game? What's the deal?
I don't know. I think we have the talent. I think it's there. We know Preki can win, so the coaching should be there. Is the system not working?
I did listen to Preki on the Firestein's Fire. I I tweeted out that link. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I mean,
I refuse to listen since he won't be on our podcast.
But Preki, you know, admits that it wasn't a great game. He's disappointed with how they played. He's happy that they kept their heads in and pulled it out. But
how many games have we pulled it out though?
We need to win that game specifically comprehensively.
Again, I'm looking at what we've got here.
Charlotte Independence. We need to win that game.
Comprehensively. It should have been 3-0.
Right.
But did you see that Charlotte went and beat New York Red Bull 5-1?
Ooh.
Yeah, nice. that was a fair old result.
Yeah. So again, you know, we're going we play Charlotte again in July. If they're on the up and up and we're not.
And that's, again, you know, you'd mentioned it earlier with Orlando City B. We've got to take care of these teams that
everyone else is
right,
going to beat.
Yeah. Because they are going to get better. Mm-hmm. Two teams get better. Well, Charlotte, you know, we did that the first year with Colorado. We counted them as an easy win, but by the time we got around to them, they were a good team. So if a team's in a slump, you've got to pile on.
Yeah,
you can't afford to let any game slide by you.
And again, I don't want to talk about Wichita here, but that's that foot on the throat.
Yeah,
is just
well. And let's go ahead and move to Wichita. I mean, I think we're done with Charleston. Let's talk about Wichita.
The foot on the throat mentality just went, like Matt said. There was when a fucking indoor soccer striker is looking like he should be in the EPL against us.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Gordy Gerson should not be manhandling us as a forward.
It's embarrassing.
Go there and take this is Michigan. Go to Michigan and take care of business. They're a PDL team. They're a youth team. I mean, they're good in their world. They're good.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We can't go in there overconfident because maybe that's part of what we did in Wichita.
Well,
but
Indianapolis certainly did.
Put your head down and do the work.
Do your business.
They're all talented enough. You know, we can go through position by position. They're good players. Something's not working. Pull your heads out.
That's basically, yeah. I mean, maybe after a good start in a season, we do get complacent and take our foot off. But as I say, we've got fans spending good money going to watch this,
yeah.
And they deserve better. You know, the guys that went to Wichita deserved a 4-0 romp.
Well, I mean, you and I both know we talked about, you know, going to Wichita. We couldn't afford to take off the day of work or whatever, but how disappointing. I mean, they did get a win, and it was a very exciting game. And, I mean...
And they did get yelled at by a soccer mom.
Yeah, great experience for those guys, but you had to be thinking, I know I was thinking, oh my God, they're going to lose to an amateur team.
You know, after
and they might have gotten lucky because that last penalty shout.
Oh my God! It was
could have been easily at the spot.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't. Richmond lost, Cosmos lost, Riverhounds lost. All two amateur teams. You can't even take any joy in their misfortune because we got away with it by the skin of our team.
Well, and here's the other thing: if we had won the last three league games, and you fuck up in the Open Cup, you say, "Well, okay, these things happens.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can win on any given Sunday or Wednesday, mm-hmm. as the case may be. But
Tuesday.
When you couple looking poor in that game with four bad results in a row, you start to wonder, is this really our team? Are we really, you know, were the wins early an aberration?
Here's I don't understand this. He rotated the squad somewhat,
yeah.
Right? I mean, there was the new Bosnian kid was in, Denis Ahmetović was in. You know, it was pretty
yeah.
There was a lot of stars in there, but there was probably four kids.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't expect to see in a league game. Why are we rotating players when we don't play on a Saturday?
That was another thing. Put in your team and do the work because there's no reason to save them for this weekend because there was no this weekend.
I didn't understand that, and I'm sure they have their reasons, and I'm sure. You know, you want to give players playing time, you know, against a supposed lower opposition team. But, man.
And why weren't those players that were picked eager to get out there and show they deserve to be in part of the starting lineup? That's the other side to this coin. If you're going to play those guys, they better step up and play.
But if we're playing if we played Orlando and we were disjointed,
right,
and then we play Charleston and look disjointed, you've got a perfect opportunity against Wichita to play starters, get some chemistry, get it together. You've got 90 minutes there where you can really,
right.
You know, it's get some momentum and the rotation in the squad. I just didn't understand that.
I didn't either. When I saw it announced,
I mean, it still looked a strong squad. Don't get me wrong.
They still should have not had any problem with that game.
But as you said, you know, with the time off, with everybody coming back from healthy, I was stunned that this wasn't the opportunity to get everybody in game shape and ready for the league. It made sense. His team,
I understand it,
but
if we'd have had a game this weekend, I would have understood. But there's 9-10 days before we play again.
You don't have to save their legs for anything.
Yeah. So, fair play to Wichita. Yeah. They played an excellent game against us. And
apparently their fans were amazing to our travelers. Mm-hmm. Ricard, Zach, Sam Weiss, Matt House, and Will House went down there, had a blast, and their supporters group was great. And
Johnny Freedom was awesome to him, evidently.
Yeah, and I invited Johnny to come to a game in the corner on our dime. But they had a good time. The Wichita fans appreciated their moment because they kept saying it. This is the biggest game we've had here, a pro team coming there and playing them. And I
understand that they're up for it.
Yeah.
I get that. They're up for it. And Jeremy sat here and said, I want us to go there and play against the team that are up for it and not in the best pitch and not in the best conditions.
That pitch was awful.
Yeah.
It'd be rolling. The ball would be rolling straight and it would pop straight up.
But it's the same for both teams.
Any worse than Harrisburg's pitch?
No, not at all.
So,
or really a baseball field.
I mean, that's not it's not an excuse. No.
And the officiating was awful, but that's, again, expected.
Hey, we should be lucky that officiating was awful because we got as many benefits of the doubt as they did.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Angulo missing a PK. That was stunning.
Oh, I
wanted
to throw my phone out the window.
That's not the referee's fault. That's not the pitch's fault.
I mean,
and Angulo had two goals in the game. It's not like he was universally shitty, but you can't miss a penalty kick like that. It wasn't saved.
No.
He just skied it.
It was funny because, you know, when it happened, I saw Milan walking over. I'm like, okay, Milan's going to take it. He's had a good game. I'm cool with that. Then I see Angulo step up. I'm like, fuck, it's done. That dude doesn't miss a PK.
Yeah.
You know, he's on fire today. He's working hard.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of us were like, well, that's the game when that happened.
And then as soon as it happened.
Thank God for Tyler David. How about that?
You know what? This entire season, Tyler has been the savior of
so many
games.
I said it last year. He was the almost underrated player.
And this year, there's no question right now. He's MVP as far as I'm concerned.
The thing is, it's Wichita, guys. It should never have got to that.
Yeah,
It should never have got to that. And, you know, as I say, I was thinking of going up to Michigan and you know, we're all looking forward to going to Cincinnati, but
there's no way I was going to go up to Michigan the way this is going. I was like, there's a good chance that'd be a lot of wasted money.
I love supporting this team and I love going to away games, but they have to get it together. And it has to start against Tampa, who are a very good team, but they have to start showing us something.
You know, Mark Gardner, after Louisville last year, had an infamous tantrum on the bus. And
he'll love that you described it as a tantrum.
But you know what? Ultimately, we all sat there and called him out, but he was proved
Oh,
right.
No, he's right.
That's
I was wrong.
You know what? I was going to say, I will give Mark Gardner, you're electric. Yes. Call your electric for all your home and business electrical needs.
Yes.
But I will give him full credit. He was absolutely right because I've gone to a lot of away games. You've gone to even more. And if it wasn't for Tulsa, you'd have seen a goddamn thing from this team.
Yeah, I wish we could play more in Oklahoma.
No, because Tulsa's doing well this year. They're in eighth place in the West.
They should be higher if they had an eligible player.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But, I mean, there's a lot of season left. But we can't. We have to start.
And we have the pieces, but they've got to figure it out. They've got to figure out what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like last year where we, you know, oh, when Barkley comes back, or you know, or when this happens.
No, there were injuries, but they've still.
We have depth. You know, yes, it sucks that Mirko's out.
Mirko may be the guy I least wanted to lose for an extended period of time.
Absolutely, but
I think we're definitely missing him in the midfield and his ability to control things.
But watching Dragon, I don't think we've missed it. I mean, I will say, and purely for entertainment's sake, I love watching Dragon get pissed on the pitch.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely think he's going to assault the ref sometimes. He was.
Which would be a step too far. We want him to play right on that line.
Yes, just toe that line, baby. But
I think to a certain degree last season, it got to a point where we kind of knew that we just weren't at the at the races. And certainly in the first year, we were like, yeah, this ain't going so well. And last year, it got to a point where we were like, we're not the races. This year, we know we're a decent team.
Yeah.
But they have to figure it out.
But I'm also thinking, because last year, about midway through the season, I thought we were a decent team. I'm also thinking, man, am I wrong again? Like, has it gone wrong? I don't think we're there yet, but it's making me ask the question.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if we get, you know, the whole in a vacuum conversation with Charleston, you may as well lose 4-0 than 1-0. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still didn't create anything. Yeah. We look at these teams as our equals,
right,
that we think we're at that level, and we're getting beat by them.
But and for the last four or so games, we've said in a vacuum that's not the worst result. Well, you can only say that so many times.
Yeah, and you know, it's no good going to Tampa Bay, losing 1-0 and going, you know what, they're a good team.
Yeah.
You know, we're a good team. Show it us.
And we've got to win some games that people don't expect us to win.
Exactly.
It's not even good enough to win the games you're supposed to win. You got to win some that you're not supposed to win.
You know, if you think you're one of the best teams in this league, you're going to win 50-50 against your peers.
And you should totally believe going into any game that you're going to win. I'm not so confident against the Rowdies. Hope I'm wrong. Hope I, you know, have to swallow some beers and.
Well, they have to show us something, guys. I mean, they've showed the last three away games in the league. We've seen nothing.
Yeah,
we have seen nothing, and you know, the point has come where this is the game this weekend. It's against away at Tampa Bay. It's a rough game. They have to go get a result.
And with that said, we'll be at ITAP Soulard to watch that game, and we hope you come and join us.
I cannot wait because I haven't made the last one or two just because of things going on with Mother's Day and stuff like that.
Yep.
I am ready for a good time. I really need a good time.
And it would be wonderful if they win.
Yeah, that too. That too. That would be really nice, actually.
Speaking of watch parties, we found out today that for sure the next U.S. Open Cup game will be May 30th, not 31st, as we originally thought. They'll be playing in the indoor stadium in Milwaukee.
In the Michigan.
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 The Can.
The Can. And we will most likely have a watch party for that. They did have a video stream from the Indy game in the Open Cup, so we're hoping there will also be a video stream for our game. And we will let you know when and where that will be, but most likely at ITAP.
The pictures for that stadium.
It's weird, isn't it?
The strangest thing
is, just so you know, it's inside a big metal building.
It's basically like the Rams Park.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a regular outdoor field. They're not playing off the walls like indoor soccer, but there are roof beams that occasionally the ball will hit it.
Yeah, and I was trying to read up on it, and I totally forgot to follow through what the rule is if it hits the beam.
Well, Stewart said he talked to somebody from there, and he said, well, sometimes they stop the game and do a restart. He said, sometimes we've seen them just play on. So, again, if Preki didn't like what was happening in Wichita with the field, I can't wait to see what he thinks of this indoor.
I made this point on Facebook. Don't tell me we wouldn't have liked that at the San Glavin out in Cottleville at 5 o'clock.
Oh no, I got no. And why is it in Michigan? Because of the snow? Is that why they have an indoor thing?
I have no idea. I imagine that it's one of those facilities that's there, and they decided to use it.
Yeah. The strange thing is, I don't know if you guys saw the pictures, but the bleachers are they're feet away from the touchline.
Right on it.
I mean, literally, it's what you think. It's not even Udemy away. I mean, it's a card table distance away, and they're not.
How many do the Bucks draw? I mean, I know they're a PDL team. I don't know.
But that was the next thing I was going to say, too, is that these bleachers, they're not like bleachers like at soccer park. They're like three-tier, like at a grade school.
Yeah.
You know, they're not full-blown bleachers.
It'll be interesting to see if they can get some people out for U.S. Open Cup.
Especially after beating Indy. I mean, they should. Good for them.
Yeah.
I'm proud of them.
They're making a run.
We will not have a better chance of hosting an MLS team. Go to Michigan and get it done.
And as Matt alluded to, they did the coin flip. If
coin flip.
Well, that's how they determine who will host the USL game.
Wait, they say. Well, that's how they do it.
Okay, I'm sure. You know there are bags of money, but if we win in Michigan, we will host the Chicago Fire at Soccer Park,
which
and that will be amazing.
First off, our former confidants, whatever you want to, what they call it, affiliation. Our former affiliation. Plus, you got guys like, you know, Drew Connor, former player for us, up there. You know, I'd love to see them come down here.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
And as far as if you're going to pick an MLS team out of a hat to play, Chicago's not bad.
That's a good pick.
I would have rather had Minnesota United.
if we beat Chicago, our bracket is to play Sporting Kansas City or Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
That's next up on tap.
There we go.
When we beat Michigan and when we beat Chicago, we then get to beat Sporting KC or Minnesota.
It's the hope that kills us.
There we go. So
why not? I mean, if we're being all daft on the podcast, let's just do it.
So the one thing I am not looking forward to if we beat Michigan is the dearth of stupid emails that our mailbox will get.
Yeah.
But of people wanting tickets. So I'm just going to say it right now. If we do win next week, you know, there may be a podcast in between now and then, but if we do win and those tickets go on sale, get them for your friends so they have tickets so you don't ask.
Yeah, it will be season ticket holders only, or first come, first serve. They will give the season ticket holders first crack at them, and there will be a limit on how many you can buy. You know, it'll be two or four or whatever it is. You know, yeah, if you've got a friend that wants to go, by all means, buy them a ticket. But when people, strangers, start coming out of the woodwork, you know, we're not going to be able to help them get tickets. It just won't happen. It's not because I'm being a dick.
Well,
I am a dick. But it's not because I'm being a dick. It's like, no, you get your tickets through the team just the same way we all do. And if you want first shot at them, be a season ticket holder at St. Louis FC.
That's the way. I'm going to get one ticket, and that's going to be for me because that's all I care about.
There you go.
No, but
or buy an extra one and then put it on StubHub and let one of these people pay over the barrel for it.
No, because you know what'll happen. That'll go to a fire guy you don't want that either. If I was the club, and I'm serious, if I was the club, I'd make the general admission, general ticket sales, I'd do it a flex pack. You want a fire ticket, you need to buy the next two home games as well.
Yeah.
I would have no problem with it.
And that's not unheard of. Other clubs do it.
No, not only that, but that's what most teams do now. Yeah. Like, you know, like the Royals, if you want the Cardinals tickets, you have to buy a 5 or 10 game pack to get the Cardinal games.
Right. Well, and that's what did the Beckham situation when he came to MLS and people were lining up to buy tickets to whatever city he was going to. The smart team said, fine, you can buy tickets to the Galaxy, but you're also going to buy two or three other games. And, you know, that's the only way you can prove to these people that what we have is worth watching is to get them out there to a couple games. So,
and worst case scenario, if they don't use the tickets, we get their money.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Win-win.
And that's the other thing I want to caution people. You may see an increase in the prices for these tickets because they will be in demand.
Premium. Yeah.
So, you know, it might be $15 or $18 for the ticket as opposed to the $12 or whatever we pay. I can't even think
of it.
But
we got to get it done in Michigan.
That's right. That's right. And then we will gouge you.
Yes.
But the thing is, again, go to Michigan, get it done.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
At the end of the day,
We've got to see a confidence in that team coming out and taking control of the situation.
We should boss that game from the beginning to the end.
Yes.
It shouldn't be in doubt.
No, not at all.
Yep.
I mean, it should just be. And that was the thing. Like, in Wichita, when they decided to finally get off their asses and late in the second, we took control, but thumbs were up the asses way too long.
But the fact of the matter is that that's when the fitness takes over. That's when the fact that you're a pro athlete against a guy who's been at work all day.
Hey, and don't lose sight of this. They were down a man.
Yeah.
It's a little easier to boss the game when you've got an extra man, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was sent off in the 87th.
But all through the extra time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And we needed that.
All right.
Bitch fest. I told you, our best podcasts are when we're shit.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm telling you, man.
We've talked about games we've played. We've talked about watch parties coming up. We need to talk about June 2nd. June 2nd is the, what are they calling it? Season opener part deux?
Feels like it's season
the reboot.
Opener.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
The remix. Let's call it the remix.
It's definitely a homecoming. We're playing Toronto too. The park is, as we speak, being put back together. They had everything out of the buildings, so everything that was in the buildings is safe. They've gone in and they've cut off like half of the drywall to replace that. Everything's going good as far as I know. The pitches, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do, but Pat said the idea was to move the field from 1 to 3.
Now, when he says one, is that the stadium one?
One is the stadium.
Okay, that's what I couldn't remember. Yeah. And I couldn't remember if that was one or the one to the...
No, the stadium is one, and they were going to move that to field 3, which lost its turf in the flood, and put the brand new turf on the stadium.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's going to happen or if they're still playing on the turf because it hasn't been replaced yet. Either way, the turf on the main field will be fine for the game. It'll either be brand new or just cleaned off.
I did see pictures that they got section 20 unmangled.
Yeah. Man, yeah, they lost,
got tore up, didn't it?
They lost section 20, but they're working on repairing that. And you know, not everything will be done at the stadium, but Jeremy's assured us anything that has anything to do with the game will be fixed. They're going to have the ballroom ready. They're going to have the grill ready. They're going to have the beer garden and all those things. So from a fan's perspective, going to a game, everything will be fine. So that's good news.
Teams might be getting changed on the bus, but yeah.
No, I think the locker rooms are going well.
That's a priority, if I understand.
They actually pulled all the lockers and everything out. So
so that was gone.
Yeah, it was an empty room.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, those were really nice lockers,
right?
Too.
And they lost them last time in the flood. They had just gotten them redone.
That's true.
So this time they said, "Nope, pull them all out." So yeah, they just have to go in and put them back together.
The return of the pace.
The only pace could be back with Toronto. The only only thing I want to say is, obviously, they're doing a lot of work between now and then. It's a Friday night game. It's not impossible that they could move it to Saturday. I mean, that's one of the benefits of owning your own stadium.
I hope they do.
I actually would like a Saturday game better so we can have a proper tailgate.
The thing is, though, I mean, if Toronto have already bought that
flight. Right. That's it. I mean, this is all dependent on league approval, and I'm not saying this because anybody's told me this. I'm just saying we do have a little flexibility there. Mm-hmm. We could move it another day if necessary.
If it is Saturday, we are going to start pre-gaming the pre-game at the pre-game.
If it's Friday, it's going to get silly. If it's Saturday, ooh, real silly.
So get out the inflatable bed down here and start
cover yours
in plastic.
Yeah, there we go. I do want to mention that we are going to do something special for Bus 2. On the 2nd, we're going to have a special dedication ceremony, and we've got a gift for those members of Bus 2, the survivors, if you will.
It's a bill for the bus repair.
It's a bill for the bus repair. No, we're gonna actually give them something of value. So if you were at on Bus 2, come to the game, and if you weren't on Bus 2, come to the game. It's going to be fun.
It'll be fun regardless.
And bring a friend.
Speaking of buses, already starting to talk about the bus to Cincinnati.
Yes.
So, you know, if that's something that interests you, let us know, because we'll definitely want to try to get a head count ahead of time. We don't know at this point. It depends on the bus company if we can do just straight there and back, or if we're going to have to stay overnight because of the driver situation.
Yeah, so, and we understand that affects people's budgets. I mean, if you have to pay for a hotel, it kind of makes it a little different. So
Brad and I are going to share a bed.
We do understand this. We're going to try to do it there and back if at all possible. But if not, we're going to take a road trip to Cincinnati anyway, and we're going to spend the night. So,
and we're going to beat them because, you know, by then we'll have like won 6 games in a row.
We'll have ironed out all our problems. And
I hope there's room for us amongst 20,000 fans.
Yeah, maybe they can find a little area of the stadium for us.
I hope so, because they have 20,000 fans, in case you didn't know.
There you go. I also want to mention the next home game, June 2nd, we're going to have new T-shirts.
Yeah.
And they look really good, guys. I've got kudos to one and all.
In honor of our friend.
I don't know if I'd say honor.
Who called us ketchup on a steak. Our new shirt has a ketchup bottle label. It looks like the Heinz label, and it has Luligan's.
It is a parody of it.
Yes. It's a green T-shirt, Heather Green T-shirt with the ketchup bottle label. And those will be available for $20 at the June 2nd tailgate if our friend Ryan at Adrenaline Prince can get them done. He works super hard for us, and he almost always gets things ready for us in time. But I have told him under no expectations, he does not have to do it for us. But you know what? He wants to do it for us because he's a Lulligan.
And I will say his touch, you know, you came through with the idea because you do amazing with these ideas and you're brainstorming.
Yeah, he made it look good.
But he, I mean, yeah, it's like, it's, you know, I really liked what you did. And it's like, oh, that looks good. And then he gets a hold of it and it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just sent a sort of a mock-up to him and I said, you know, something like this, but have a pass at it. And he made it better.
Yeah, every time. The Bus 2 shirts were incredible. I've had a couple of people that don't. That aren't Lulligans comment on them.
Yeah, and that one was all his idea, his creativity. So if you need t-shirts made for a corporate thing or for your softball team or kickball team or whatever, call our friends at Adrenaline Prints and ask for Ryan.
And he hinted that there might be something really cool at a later game.
He posted, be something special coming up.
You know, keep an eye out because he's doing awesome work and there might be something pretty awesome.
So Ryan does all our t-shirts. If you like our t-shirts, it's Adrenaline Prints and they're in Belleville, but just hit them up on Facebook or Twitter or give them a call and work something out with Ryan.
Belleville's still in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, it is. The whole metro area is one.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Let's talk about social media for a minute. Last week on Twitter, we crossed the 7,000 follower mark.
That is awesome. So good job, Brad.
Well, thank you to everybody who follows our account.
No, good job to you. You get a little pat on the back here. Don't be humble. You've done awesome with it.
Okay, I'll send that in for my car payment next month, then we'll see how far that goes. But no, thank you for everyone for following us. We are the most followed supporter group in USL. I'll say that. Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
More than Tower Bridge. We are also the most liked group on Facebook, supported group in USL. So that's pretty cool. The only place we're falling behind is Instagram.
That was all due to a late start.
And three continents.
And we are the worst on three continents. Instagram. We started late because, frankly, I'm old, and I didn't realize how important Instagram was. And I talked to Sarah and Eric Vanita one day, and they insisted that Instagram was important if we want to be hip with the kids. So Sarah has taken that and done amazing things with it. It's not just reposting photos that I post. She posts her own creative stuff. A lot of times it's better than anything we post. So sometimes I'll steal one and repost it on Twitter or Facebook, but,
I gotta imagine she's got like a built up stock of stuff that she's like, I'm going to use this one today.
Yes. So please follow us on Instagram.
She even tagged Ding Ding the Panda today.
She's awesome. She's really awesome. We also have a Snapchat, and I don't know anything about Snapchat. All I know it's for
tits and dick pics.
It's all for dick pics and tits, but Derek Gottman runs that. I think he does mostly game day stuff. So if you're at a game and you want to see what's going on in Section 8 and see some dicks and or some tits, follow us on Snapchat.
Chances are they both belong to Brad.
Actually, my daughter made me set up my Snapchat last week because she felt so bad for me. And I still don't get it. I don't know where to go to get my messages. I don't have any friends other than my daughter. I tried to follow the Lulligans. I think I did, but I'm not sure.
Well, yeah. They just didn't follow you back.
Maybe.
Tarek's like, who's that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any. Well, yeah, my name's like, she made my name White Bread. So
that's appropriate.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'm doing on Instagram. So thank God Derek's taking care of that for me. Also on Twitter.
Wait, Derek's like our age, though.
I know, but he works at a video game store, so he's hip with the kids. Okay. Also on Twitter. This Is Silly Podcast has its own Twitter account, so that is woefully underfollowed. So if you're listening to this podcast, go on Twitter and follow This Is Silly Pod, and please retweet when we post out episodes and things. Even though we made fun of people for over-liking a few episodes ago.
Sharing is caring.
Yes, please retweet at will. That's all I have to say.
I got nothing. Thank you. We should just use but all the business for the podcast. So, like, if you have questions, only to that Twitter account.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. I'm trying to swing it that way.
It might take a little time.
It'll take a little time, but follow the podcast on Twitter. That's the best way to know what's going on the podcast.
Because
eventually I'm going to quit doing stuff for the Luligan account, and I don't want to lose all our podcast followers because you can't kick me out of the podcast. Unless, like Coda, I die. Which is possible.
Great. I'm going to step into your shit, too.
Not for the first time.
I do have a story for that. I'll share it after the pod. Hashtag, what did Brad do?
Maybe that should be the after the music
section. I'm going to guess it involves Pixie at this point.
It'll be like Bill Maher's after show.
Yeah.
Like, you have to go on YouTube and find out what Brad did. We do have some questions, if you guys would like to weigh in. We have quite a few questions.
We do have a YouTube account, actually. Listen, what set one up.
Well, there you go. We got a YouTube account, too.
Yeah, she was doing video when she was doing those videos that she was putting together a couple weeks ago.
So
she put it up there.
We are fucking all over social media. Wait a minute.
No. We are all over. Yes. There's a comma there.
We are fucking.
We're very graphic today.
Yes. We are the Sweary USL show, as like
Swear,
Pat likes to say.
Sweary USL show.
All right, let's answer some questions or weigh in on some topics. Jim Sullivan wanted to know, he's noticed that we're missing a lot of close range shots, and he wonders if the boys practice that in practice. I think they should. I think they should have a sitter drill.
Is it like free throws where at the end of the practice you have to go just?
Yeah, I mean.
To be honest, I'm not seeing us create a lot.
Yeah.
Long, short, whatever.
We did miss a lot in that Wichita game.
I got to be honest, I didn't watch it because I was working. I was just kind of following it on FOTMOB and throwing my phone
better,
up.
You were
windshield.
Yeah. No, I mean, there were a few balls that were sitting there in the box that went wide or went high. And
I will admit it may be my fault because when I stopped watching, we ended up winning.
There we go.
So I might be the jinx.
Just stay home.
But I'm going to have fun.
Kyle Eagle or Eagle, I never know how to pronounce that name. He wants to know, is there any injury update? I think the good news is we saw Milan out there playing at Wichita.
Yeah, and his wheels are back.
He did 120 minutes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he covered some serious ground.
I know Seth got injured early in that game. I think it was more precautionary, pull him out. I think he tweaked a groin or a hamstring or something. I haven't heard any more about Seth. I don't know if it's any more serious, but I think right now Mirko is our only...
And he posted a Instagram the other day that the cast is off.
Yeah, he's...
I still have a feeling that it was him taking the cast off, not the doctor.
Well, sure. Yeah, he signed an AMA and ripped his cast off.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's...
What about Dalgard? Did he play in Wichita or no?
I believe he
did. I thought he did.
Maybe not.
What about...
No, he did. He did.
What about Dragon?
Yeah.
Dragon played against Wichita?
Yeah, because he was screaming at the ref at one point in time.
Okay.
So, yeah, everybody.
There was a nice close-up of his face just bawling out the referee. So, yeah, I think everybody is back, save Mirko. And again, Milan.
And that's not to say there might be some tenderness with hamstrings and things like that that pops up during training, but I think Mirko is still our only major injury concern right now.
Milan covered some serious ground
against
Wichita. There was a couple times where the ball went deep into the left corner, and he came from basically center field and went past the defender, and the defender did one of those double takes.
Yeah.
Where it's like, holy shit, where'd he come from?
And he's getting loud out there. I saw him arguing with his teammates a few times out there.
Yeah.
They probably had no idea what each other was saying, but there was a disagreement about things, which is good. You want your players.
Yeah.
So we have missed Mr. Mirko or Mr. Milan, and thank God he's back. Tim Burgess wants to know stadium updates or improvements. Well, we kind of mentioned they are working on the building right now, and
the new scoreboard was saved. So
they didn't put the scoreboard in yet. So luckily that's fine. They may or may not have new turf on the main field. We're not sure the status of that.
But everything else should be business as usual.
Yeah, everything should be fine come game time. It might take a while for the offices and stuff. I think Pat Kelly said they opened some offices in the building across the street they rented.
Yeah, was a business that had closed there, and they just
There you go.
Moved in there temporarily.
So
there is a sale in the team store right now.
Yeah, get in on that. I forget what the code is, but if you follow them on
River 17.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You can get...
I just spent $200.
You can get the jersey.
What'd you get?
Got you in a little green shirt.
$200.
That's no, all other stuff.
Yeah, they've got T-shirts. They've got those sweet new hoodies. Oh wait, it's free shipping on anything over $75.
Yep.
And then jerseys are $50. Yep. I believe that's the deal.
Last year's jersey.
Not
the new ones.
Call in and get them. Pat Ryan wants to know. Oh no, wait. Phil Barbier wanted to know. He's talking about stadium improvements, and he didn't mean this specifically about after the flood, but we know they've talked about doing expansion to the seating and stuff if everything, you know, goes the way you want. He wants to know about, is there a long-term solution for parking? Quite frankly, that is one of their biggest issues about putting in more seats.
That's the thing. They can expand the stadium, but the parking is the issue.
So they would have to either, you know, get another lot or shuttle people or something.
Build the Steve Petcher Memorial Garage.
Yeah, I think they could put a ramp garage right where our tailgate is. Just build it up 4 or 5 stories. That would be easy to do, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, easy. Like, see, well, so the funny thing is at UMSL.
So easy to spend other people's money.
Yeah, yep.
Up at UMSL, this is one of those stupid little stories. There's a handful of garages, and they were built in the 60s as temporary garages that they weren't supposed to be long-term. They're still being used today.
Well, there you go.
So we need to find out whoever did. I'm sure they're full of asbestos and, you know.
That stuff lasts. Let's do it.
But, you know, whoever did those, let's get them to do it because it seems to work.
Yeah, at the very least, we'll get some, like, those car trailers, you know, where they haul cars.
Oh,
we'll,
yeah, you're just parking the angles.
We'll all park our cars on those.
Because that'll be great getting cars off at the end of the night when you've had a couple drinks.
Yeah. And some guy will want to leave early,
just
and his car's
at the
front.
Drop everyone off at home.
If only we knew a truck driver.
Yeah.
So yes, you're right, Phil. And he also said sometimes leaving on I-44 is a mess getting off.
Oh, I bet.
What I would suggest is get there early like we do, and then stay after the game for a few beers. Because usually by the time
when
we leave,
when you say early, you mean 5:30 when the gates open.
Right. No, I mean get there at the very beginning of the tailgate
party.
Don't
get there before 5:30.
But if you try to get there at like 7:25 right before the game starts,
you're screwed.
Yeah, there's always a line of cars trying to get in. And then also after the game, stay, come down to the tailgate, have a few beers, because by the time most of the tailgate breaks up, the main part of the crowd is gone and it's a lot easier to get out. So,
and we usually have fun. That's the other part.
That's a bonus. Pat Ryan wants to know our thoughts on the indoor field in Michigan.
Tin can.
I have not seen it on video. I have not seen it play.
Weird.
I've just seen the still pictures. I don't know. I guess if we win there, I like it. And if we lose, I hate it.
I almost wonder if it's like the old Metrodome where they'll turn on the fans.
Can we smoke? Smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions I have. So I'm looking forward to watching it up there. I'm looking forward to...
Just
win.
That's all I give a shit about. It's just win. Go and take care of business up there, guys.
I have a feeling that Preki is not going to like the indoor field.
No, there is no way.
But we shall see. Anthony Silva wants to know about breakdown some of the what you're seeing on the pitch.
I almost thought you said breakdance.
Breakdance.
And I was thinking, yeah, we're all going to breakdance.
I don't know. It's hard to put a finger on what the problem is.
At Wichita, one of the things I noticed at Wichita is that, and this sounds stupid, it seemed that they were looking, I'm trying to figure out how to say this without it sounding really too over-coachy, but it seemed that they were more concerned sometimes about the next play than they were about the ball at their feet, if that makes sense. That, you know, it was, they had their head up, they were looking at where they were going to pass.
That sounds smart.
Before they received the ball. I'm a good liar. But, it was almost like they were in their own heads of, you know, we need to be doing this. It just seemed that they weren't taking care of what they had. You know, it was thinking too far ahead.
Like celebrating before you actually balls hit in the back of the net. Thinking too far ahead.
Yeah.
For me personally, I think the injuries have played a big part. They're now having to relearn how to play together again.
Yeah, and for me, I don't know. I mean, I can point to every part of the field where things good are happening, and I cannot point to every part of the field where things bad are happening. It's too easy to say, you know, it's all Davala's fault. No, sometimes the defenders leave him in a shit position.
When things go bad, they go bad. It's like a full collapse.
But it's not all game.
No.
Like, the defense can play good for 80 minutes, but still have 5 mistakes that cost us goals. Or, you know, the midfield can create a ton of chances, but the forward doesn't put it in, or vice versa. I can't point to one thing. There's a weird roving dark cloud over our team right now.
It's a shame that Dark Cloud stole.
Yeah,
that,
I know. Kevin Downs wants to know the biggest surprise players, both good and bad.
Dragon. Dragon's been back because I didn't know anything about him.
Yeah, and either. I didn't expect much, honestly.
Well, he had that year off where he got kind of got cut but had to stay with Indy. You know, he got Chad bonded off their roster.
There you go, yeah.
And so I didn't expect much from him, but he's come in and been an absolute beast. Bierman has been very quietly
another guy. Guy when he came on in Wichita made a difference. Him and Tyler were two bright spots of that otherwise weird Wichita game.
Disappointment. Ryan Howe, just don't trust him. You know, he's just a little inexperienced. I hope he can grow into the position. When I kind of see his name on the starting lineup, I kind of go, ooh, I wish it was Matt Sheldon.
Yeah.
Sharpie's been good. I like Wes Sharpie. Anglo scoring. I mean, he was...
After the way he started in preseason, yeah. I'm surprised that he's been as good as he is. And I shouldn't have been because he's a good player.
He's a scorer. He's a scorer. Alvarez has kind of slipped off the radar a bit. I'd like to see a bit more of him.
Yeah.
You know, he scored the winner against Ottawa, and he's coming in here and there, but I'd like to see a bit more of him with Valesky. Apparently, Christian really likes playing with Alvarez. But with disappointments, I don't really want to call anyone out because, you know, I'm going to see them soon.
but, you know, like some guy, like Tavo, for example. I had a little bit higher expectations of, and I know he's capable of them. It just seems that he just hasn't hit his stride.
He's lost his wingman, though.
And that's probably a big part of it,
too. And I will say he's looked really good in stretches. I think
he
started off poor, and when Preki kind of, you know, benched him, I think since that moment, I think he's been playing harder.
Yes.
But I looked at Tavo, and I always thought he kind of gave the ball away a little easy for me, and then I looked at the Optus stats on the USL website, and he had the highest pass accuracy of the team. So I mean,
I think it's an indication of how involved he is in the game.
Yeah.
Maybe quietly, but the ball comes back to him a lot, and he redistributes. It
goes through him a lot in the transition, and I think that's where I think I probably maybe undercut him a little bit in my mind, but now having seen it, I think I might expect more because of that. And again, I know he's. We've seen him.
Takes me too long to distinguish Tavo from Tyler David. One of them, has got to cut the hair because,
or put it down. You know, just the pulled back together. Just every time, especially on these poor feeds like Wichita, I could not tell. I think really the worst part is that we have so many incompletes because of the injuries.
That would be my thing too. I hate to say I'm disappointed in any of the field players right now because there's been so much. Up and down. You both have mentioned Tyler indirectly, but Tyler's been a surprise to me. Not that I didn't think he would improve from last year, but I think he's improved more than I even thought he would.
Agreed.
He looks like a starter out there.
He's a professional through and through.
There's a reason why he was drafted in the first round by Vancouver, though. I mean, he's not a screw.
No.
But you know, I knew he was good, but he's better than I even thought he was.
Yeah.
I'll say Milan.
Just because I didn't know anything about
him. Knew nothing about the kid. Didn't even know if he was just, you know, coming in because Preki knew him somehow or whatever. But he's been lights out when he's out there. Yeah, I love watching him play.
He needs a goal, though.
He does need a goal.
I'll be honest, he needs a goal.
Yeah, I think part of the problem now, he's gripping the stick a little bit too much, though, that it's the monkey on his back.
You mentioned it, Angulo. I was hard on him during preseason. He's proved me wrong. He's competing.
The ball's still coming down from orbit, though, from that penalty.
that was a bad one.
He pecked him the shit out of it.
Dragon, like you said, Dragon has been a good surprise. Bjerman, I'm constantly impressed with him.
They just have to be healthy. I mean, that's the be-all,
see, that's
end-all.
The thing. It's like guys to like Leyva, you know, I like watching him play.
I think there's more there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's like that guy's going to be a substantial, but the health problem it has gotten in the way, and I don't like that.
Same about Cavalcetta. Yes. I don't know if he's good or not because I haven't seen enough of him. I will say
Tony Walls. I, We know what he could do before. Yeah. I'm really happy we picked him
up. I'm high on him if it works.
It's,
yeah.
It's 2 days in. You know, it's...
I will say one disappointment I have is Dvala.
Definitely.
I expected him to be our number one day in, day out, without a question.
Seeing how
and he... I still think he's a damn good keeper, but it's not without a question anymore. I think Grenwis is our starter at this moment.
And again, it's nothing against Grenwis's performance.
Based on history, Dvala should have come in
and owned it.
And Jeremy said so in the offseason when they signed him.
Yeah, that's why
we brought
away
in
from
a number one.
What we had. Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, like you said, good for Mark being in Toronto.
Yeah.
I hope we don't see him next time because I want him to stay up at the big club. But, you know, we brought him in to be the number one. I don't have that confidence in him as a number one.
I'd like Dvala to have 5 games with a solid back four behind him.
I think that would help, but
would definitely help. Yeah,
but you know what? Grenis hasn't had it either. So, and he's, you know, he's.
No, you can't argue what Grimwis has done when he's come in. He's played 2 difficult games on the road, and he's only conceded 1 goal. But that's the issue. We ain't scoring.
Yes, yeah. That's the end. That's, you know, the be all end all.
Whether or not you want to piss on Dvala or Grimwis or whatever, if we can concede 1 goal and not get any points, then we're on a high to nothing. Right. We need to score some goals, guys.
Very true. Stuart wants to know, any plan to add depth or use more academy kids? I don't know. I say no, but then I didn't think they would add Valesky, and I didn't think they would add Walls. I mean, I think the lesson to learn is if Preki
Amir,
yeah, but he's been with them all along.
There's certain players out there though. If they're available, like Valesky and Tony Walls, if they're available, you go get them.
That's what I'm saying.
Whether or not you've got a squad of 20 or a squad of 24, if a player of that caliber comes along, you go get them.
And I think Preki, you know, may have this ideal of what he wants his team to be, but he'll take help where he can get it. So yeah. Maybe. I will say there is a good chance that the academy kids will get some time. Aiden Stanley got a little time.
The PDL season is starting soon, though, so they're going to be playing it.
But what I'm saying is they can get some time at the PDL, and the PDL season doesn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely possible that a couple of them could impress during that PDL stretch and then get called up to big team duty.
In fact, actually, the PDL season started this weekend because the Lions...
Lions had a good game.
They won in their opener, I think against it was Winnipeg. 3-0 against Winnipeg.
Yep. And they do have a game this Saturday, so... If you want to go out and see some live soccer, go out to Cottleville and watch them.
Yeah, St. Louis.
It's going to be hot as fuck.
On Wednesday. They play tomorrow on Wednesday.
And they're playing in Collinsville, right?
Yeah, yes. And Fire and Ice is starting.
There you go. Yep. So tons of live soccer to go see. Aaron Mednick wanted to know, short turnaround time between May 30th and June 2nd. What do you think we do? Is it...
It's the same for all clubs. I mean, they've all got this problem, apart from Richmond and Pittsburgh, of course. it is what it is. We have to deal with it. And, you know, you just end up training less.
Yeah. And this is why you have a Grenis and a Dvala and goal. You know, in theory, you have the players to give somebody a break off where they need it.
Let's follow that up with Gardner wanted to know if being that's the case, and we're going to have 2 games pretty close, what would you prioritize? Would you prioritize the U.S. Open, or would you prioritize the league? Knowing how important it would be to host Chicago Fire at home for the brand, for the identity.
I don't think there is a priority. I think it's you win both games.
There's no reason we can't win both games. Seriously.
Sorry.
I won't take the cop out. You prioritize the league. To me, that's more important. Because we're not going to win the U.S. Open Cup anyway. Sorry.
But like you said, hosting the Fire is a big deal. And it matters a lot. And it gets butts in seats later on.
But if you told me right now, you can win one of those games.
I'm taking the league game.
I'm taking the league game. Matt?
Because of the losing.
If we can only win one,
yeah.
I want 3 points.
Yeah.
I
agree. We should win both, and I want to win both, and I think we can win both. But if I had to prioritize, if I was setting the lineup, I would put my stronger lineup against the league team.
But to be fair, in that miracle situation, you'd rather have the league game first so you could decide what to do about the Cup game.
True.
You don't get that chance. So well, you go out and
that's
you go Preki's out.
Job, and Preki will have to, you know, weigh it as he and
again,
sees fit.
But. And again, this is also why you have Molan and Angulo and Valeski. You know, you have three strikers.
He has the tools to, and he can move Dalgard up there too, or Seth.
The fact of the matter is on next Tuesday, we should be 3-0 up after 60 minutes, and right. We should be able to take three starters out and rotate into three guys. And that's what we should do. That's, you know, that's how it should be.
Once again, Matt Bird's the smartest one in the room.
It's not saying too terribly much.
No, it's really not.
It's a low baseline.
It's only because Dakota's gone.
The next question is... Jack Hugh wants to know, defensive issues are holding us back. Comment on that. I think he's right. I think if we're not going to score, then the defense has to hold a perfect.
But the best defense is scoring.
Very true.
Well, it's not. I just said we conceded three goals against a semi-pro team, and that was unacceptable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know it's easy for me to sit here on a couch. I'm not running around for 90 minutes in the middle of a Kansas cornfield. But
and I don't think it's an easy fix. I don't know. I've seen AJ look great. I've seen AJ look like he doesn't know where he's supposed to be. I've seen our outside backs out of position. I've seen them get to balls that I didn't think they could. You know what I mean? Like I said earlier, it's not you can't point your finger at one thing because they'll have a good game and they'll have a bad game. My mom's calling.
Hi, Mom.
So, I agree defensive issues are holding us back, but it's more than that. It's all over the pitch.
I think defense, aside from Wichita, we didn't concede against Orlando. We only conceded one against Charleston. Our defense isn't that bad, league-wise.
Yeah.
You know, you take out...
Throw out the 4-0
because that was on a quick turnaround after Pittsburgh, and we'd have took 3 points from both those games, let's be honest.
Right.
But defensively in the league recently, we've not been too shabby.
2-1-0-0-1-0. I'll take that. We got to score goals.
Got to score goals. Yeah. And the defensive issues aren't really issues when you look at it like that. We need to score some goals, and we need to score some goals on the road, and let's go this weekend.
And the thing is, too, is that if you've got two and they've got nothing, they're going to be throwing more at and making more mistakes to where the defense may not have as hard of a job because the other team's going to make bad mistakes trying to push forward and stuff like that.
And similarly, you go down a goal, some teams will pull back into that shell and make it harder for you to break through. So
yeah,
it hinges both ways.
But again, if you're putting it in the back of the net, you don't have that problem. Right.
Well, this time next week after we've one in Tampa, we'll be laughing about this.
Yeah.
But the line is in the sand. We have to go do something this weekend.
Okay, so if the line's in the sand, what happens if we don't?
Then I really start to get concerned. I really get concerned
so
about
that,
where we're at.
That does tie in with the next person, Mike Baldridge. He said it's not much better than last season, is it?
Well... When we've played Tampa this weekend, we'll have played every team above us, but only two teams below us. You know, if you consider ourselves an equal of Cincinnati, Louisville, Tampa, you know, so on and so forth, we've got to start taking points against those guys. You know, if we look at Charleston and go, yeah, we're as good as them. You know, we've got to take points from these guys.
Even if we get them to a draw in their own house, that's got to count.
Yeah. Yeah, I took a draw against Charleston, absolutely. But, you know, we have to start proving to ourselves that we're as good as we are. And you know, Tampa are a good team, but so are we. So let's go and prove it. I don't think we've proved to ourselves where we're at.
And, you know, people keep saying, you know, how do we grow this? We've got to start winning. People aren't going to show up and fill the stadium.
We can throw a party every week, but if it's a losing team, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, you know, anybody that asks online, well, how do we get this into something bigger? It's not on us.
Well, part of it's on us, but we're doing our part.
Yep.
Last question of the night. Matt Brown, not the Matt Brown, the other Matt Brown.
Fake Matt Brown.
Of course, in his life and with his friends, he's the real Matt Brown, and our Matt Brown is
Matt
the
Brown
fake
8?
Brown.
Matt Brown 8
yes.
on Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah, he wants to know, Josh Sargent, what are his options if he doesn't sign in Europe? Now, we know Josh Sargent has had another great game with the World Cup, U-20 World Cup. Scored 2 goals in the win the other night.
Unstoppable.
The kid is just going from strength to strength.
Is that the U-20s?
Yeah.
Or is it the U-17s?
He's playing with the U-20s in the World Cup. He played with the U-17s in whatever tournament that was not too long ago.
But CONCACAF thing?
Yeah, but whatever rules, they allowed him eligible for the U-20 team in World Cup, and he's doing well.
So what was the score against Ecuador in the U-20s?
I don't know.
I know we equalized in the last minute, but I just presumed it was 1-1. I just saw we equalized in the last minute. It could have been 3-3. I don't know. But the question with Josh Sargent.
3-3.
So he did score 2 in the game. Okay.
I think from the vibes I'm getting from St. Louis FC is that they will respect and advise Josh and his family to do what's best for them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it will ultimately be Josh's decision, and whatever he does, the club will.
His options basically are he could sign with a European team. I think he has to be 18 to do that, unless he has
a way
to get a passport. You know, like a Pusilic ended up with a Polish passport, I think, yeah. Because his grandpa.
He's Croatian, yeah.
Okay. If Sargent has that option, I'm not sure.
Well, the reason why they did that, FIFA did it, and that's why Barcelona got their got that transfer ban is because you cannot transfer anyone under 18 to a foreign country.
Okay.
Because you had all these fake Nigerian scouts grabbing kids from Nigeria, right. Saying, "Hey, I'm a scout for Nice or Monaco, let's go to France," and these fake scouts had shot them around France, and then when they didn't make it, they just cut them loose.
And
you know, FIFA had to stop that. So obviously Josh can't sign for a team outside the country until he's 18.
Which I do believe is this summer or this fall, I think. So he may just wait around and sign for with a European team, which we know there's interest. We know there's a couple of German clubs looking at him and probably Danish clubs and Holland clubs. Or if he stays in the United States, Kansas City does have the territory that Josh is in. Kansas City gets first dibs on him, and Kansas City would be stupid not to sign him if he opts to stay here in the States. His other option, if he wants to stay in the States, a few kids have done it. They have opted to sign with either NASL teams or USL teams because they think that offers them an easier path to Europe, because we know MLS has held kids back from going to Europe.
I mean, they're,
that's what they do.
Josh Sargent will be on $65,000 a year in MLS. There could be a Cincinnati out there that'll say, "We'll give you 120."
Yeah.
Because they got money.
Or they could say, "We can only give you 30, but you can spend a year here before you go to Eindhoven and we won't stop you." Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. I think Josh is talented enough. I think he's hungry enough. And I do not know the kid. I just know stories of him and people who do know him. I think he's the kind of guy that will challenge himself and go to Europe.
I agree. There's no question in my mind that's what he should do. And right now, he is getting a ridiculous experience playing with the national team.
And he's playing for fun, man.
Yeah.
He is not worried about damaging his reputation, so he's actually going out there and driving his price up. Every time he goes to one of these international tournaments, he proves he's one of the best 18-year-old kid or 17-year-old kids
in the world.
And
at this point in time, when he keeps doing that, I mean, and it's not a slight, but he's bigger than MLS at this point.
And people are taking notice. And just like people are looking at what Pusilic is doing in Dortmund, there are a lot of clubs looking to the United States, and they see Josh Sargent, and it could be a Schalke, it could be a Hanover, or like I said, an Eredivisie club or Danish club or whatever. He's not going to be short of offers, and there'll be more than $65,000 a year.
And I hope I hope he takes them, because that's the thing. And not only that, but if he's over there and getting good experience, that means he's better qualified to play for the U.S. men's national team
exactly
than playing in MLS.
Now, selfishly, it would be wonderful if he rewarded his Scott Gallagher roots and signed a 6-month deal with St. Louis FC, waiting out till his birthday.
To be fair, I doubt that's going to happen because I think he's a much higher caliber.
Yeah,
but logically, stay
the kid's
at home.
Got choices. I don't think he will go with MLS.
I don't see how he can.
I'm not even shitting on MLS, but a kid that is that young with that much upside
on the international stage, proving himself.
And it's why I was sad when Josh Morris signed with Seattle.
Jordan
Morris. It's not because I don't think Seattle could maybe be good for him for a year or two. It's because I know MLS won't sell him on to the team that comes calling, whether it's Tottenham or whoever.
Yeah.
MLS will want an exorbitant amount of money for him. And
because
that
he's marketable
could,
for them. They and,
well, they want a face for the league.
And that could hurt his growth. I don't think going to Seattle hurts his growth. I think Seattle preventing him moving on hurts his growth. And I hope Josh Sargent says, nope, I'm just going to go make the jump. Because you can always come back to MLS.
I think he will for that reason.
The kid can always come back
to
MLS.
Freddie Adu's had a home here forever.
Jesus. Yes.
I mean,
we're talking about real football.
But that's my point. I mean,
but MLS kind of fucked Freddie Adu, too.
Yes, absolutely they did. But that's the point.
You know, throwing a 13-year-old out there to start against men, don't tell me that didn't fuck with his head.
That's my son's age.
Yeah.
Jack, I am
and
Jack's
I get that
12.
That was MLS 1.0 and whatever. But
there's no reason a 13-year-old, I mean, that ridiculous. In hindsight, that was one of the dumbest things ever.
So, yes, I think Josh Sargent could compete for a spot at Sporting Kansas City, but I also think he can compete for a spot at a lot of teams in Europe, and I think he should.
The big question.
So, Josh, if you're listening,
the big question really becomes: where does he go in Europe? The German league has got to be salivating.
I got to think Germany and Holland are probably still the best starting spots for an American.
It'll be easier to get a work visa for Germany and Holland because of the Brexit thing. He's going to struggle to get into England unless he's got international caps. So
nobody can get into England unless they're British. That's in their rules now. Like, I can't even fly there on vacation because I'm a foreigner.
You can't fly back into the US.
Well, that's true, too, because I've been to a foreign power.
You're on the watch list.
Yeah. So
that's for completely unrelated reasons.
Yes. Speaking of which, that's the story I need to tell you guys later. I'm building it up. It's nothing.
I was going to say, now people are going to be like, what the hell's the story?
I know. Like the podcast on Twitter, and maybe I will divulge the secret there.
To the 1,000th follower.
Yeah. I think we're like at 200 now. If we get to 500 followers on Twitter, the This Is Silly podcast.
Brad will tell a shit story.
How many followers
do you have? Let me pull it up. Really, we did just start it this year, so it's not.
This year. It's like 2 months ago.
Yeah. Well, that's this year.
But I'm just saying you're kind of undercutting it. It's not like it's been going since January.
Let's see here. Let me switch over. This Is Silly has 255 followers. So
it's 155 more than BGN.
Damn.
You should ask them if they want to come under our umbrella.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. How about you just go to Patreon and send us money? Oh, wait. We don't have that.
No. How about you go to Your Electric for your electrical needs?
Yes.
And do it that way, because that's really the right way of doing things.
Yep. And for our consideration, Mark has paid this podcast less than $2,000. Isn't that the new announcement that's on all advertisements on podcasts?
Yeah.
This outlet has received less than $2,000 from this apartment. You know, I guarantee we received less than $2,000.
You listen to way too many podcasts.
I do,
man.
Right?
I see. It's funny because I don't listen to it anymore. Right?
Well, but my job is driving around in the car all day doing sales calls. So,
and mine's sitting in my basement. So
yeah,
I don't.
You can listen to whatever you want or watch TV. Or,
yeah, it's either records or Spotify all day long.
And that's the other thing. I don't get to see games. So those afternoon games that you guys always watch and send me a message. Oh, did you see that goal? No, I didn't. Because I'm driving around in my car listening to podcasts.
Again, I listen to this podcast just to hear how we did. Because I'm an egotist. And
it's funny, man, because we didn't have a game this weekend. I watched a lot of the USL when we don't play. I watched three games. I watched San Antonio Phoenix. I watched Sacramento Tulsa. That was a great game.
That was a really good game.
It was a really good game.
What was the other one? Because you and I were tweeting back and forth for a while. There was another game we were watching at that time, too.
Oh, it was Sacramento because it wasn't a sellout.
Yeah.
No, it was there was a lot of empty seats at Bonnie Field.
What was the game before that? There was a game before it that we were watching.
It wasn't Louisville-Pittsburgh because they went up early, and I was like, that's done.
Yeah, that was it.
I took my bye week to just spend the weekend with my wife in Nashville.
Tell her I'm sorry.
I watched no soccer. Yeah, she didn't enjoy it, but I had fun.
She was like, here's a tablet, put a game on.
I'm going to Tootsie's. I'll see you later.
Yeah, that could have been too. But you'll find out what really happened.
Oh, I watched Rochester and Richmond on Sunday. The worst game. Nothing, apart from the two goals, nothing happened. You know what? I'll sit here and say, you know what? Aside from the designated players in MLS, there's really not much difference between USL and MLS. There was in that game. It was turgid.
Red Bull Ottawa. That's what we were watching.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really good game, actually.
As soon as I said I expected more from Ottawa, they scored two goals and won the game.
There you go. Send your thank you.
I jinxed because I said Tulsa would beat Sacramento. I was jinx ahoy this weekend.
You totally. But first off, I want to give a lot of credit to Ottawa because they evidently their games are broadcast on the regional sports network.
Yeah.
So they have like a legit, you know, announcing crew and sidelines and camera work, and evidently some of these guys go and do the hockey game. So, I mean, this is a professional level.
It wasn't two dipshits in a trailer in Florida?
No, not at all. It was not. I mean, it was a really good, well-run broadcast. And another really nice stadium. I'm never going to Ottawa, but it would be, you know, if there was a reason that I could catch a game there, I definitely would like to because it's a really neat stadium. But that game was intense as shit. I was surprised. That was cool. It was a good game to watch.
They played.
I watched a lot of games.
That was in the Women's World Cup, that.
Yep.
Ottawa Field.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, no, it's a really neat stadium. I'd love to go see it. Let's go.
All right. That's all the questions we have, guys. Any more interest?
No, I mean, we've slipped down the table, but we've not really played. I mean, we've only lost one game in May. I mean, the stats don't lie.
There you go.
Yeah, just
alternative facts.
It's time for us to be a balls out stomp on the throat team
because we know we can do that. I think we honest to God, I believe in these players. I know they can do it.
We have the talent. I know we have the ability. I know we have the leadership. Now we have to execute.
Just got to do it. It's time.
Yeah, get after
because if we let this drag on much longer, then it gets to be like last year.
Yes.
And I know these guys are better than that.
We've had our slump. Now it's time to go out and win four in a row. Yeah.
It'd be nice to have a home game,
though,
eh? Jesus. It seems like forever since
I cannot wait for that.
Home
I mean, seriously, like, I'm twitchy. I'm like a junkie. I cannot wait for that home game.
It is going to be a blast. And if we win in Michigan, then we'll have the fire here, what, June 14th? Is that the...
That's the rumored one, that week.
Yeah.
Could be Tuesday. It could be Wednesday, right. But yes.
So, yeah, let's do this. Let's bring it back home. So, just go take care of business in Tampa Bay and take care of business in Michigan, and then it's on.
Then we'll party, and it'd be great.
All right. So, bring a friend. Bring your mom. Bring your dad. Whatever. Bring some people. Let's fill the park.
That's why your mom was calling you during the middle of the podcast.
Probably is.
She wants tickets.
Right. She wants tickets to if the fire make it to town. Like, no, bitch, buy a season ticket.
She's like, who's this Schweinsteiger guy?
Yeah, I'm going to have him hold the camera and take a picture of me and you in the stands.
That's right.
All right, so I think that's all we have.
I think so. See ya.
Thinking about thinking of you. Summertime.